From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
In the world of sports, we have another recap edition after Turkey Day, before Christmas holiday, pagan, Hanukkah, all that good stuff. Steve and Chris, what's going on, bro? How's everything? Is Chris there? I wonder what happened to Chris. He should be there. Let's try it again. But anyway, we got a lot to talk about: college football, college basketball, NFL, NBA. Got some of the stuff, the pay-per-view stuff. Hey, Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear now. I didn't hear you before.
Oh wow!
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah, my bad. I don't know what happened there.
Who knows, man? Yeah, college football, college basketball, got some NFL, NBA, Tigers versus Phil, the big fight on Saturday. We got a lot on the table within a small amount of time, man. And I know the stakeholders want to get our takes on all that stuff outside of Knicks, Giants, Yankees, Rangers, New York sports. But, man, Chris, where do you want to – we could go anywhere you want with this table, man. I mean, you're a sports junkie forever and ever, man.
Hold on, Steve. I got a problem here. Hold on.
All right. So we'll do it like this.
Okay, got it. Ooh, that's what happened to my phone. Okay, now I get it. Okay, I'm back.
What do you really like to go with this, man? We got a lot of sports this weekend.
Steve, you lead off, man. I have to be your sidekick here, man, because there's so much that happened, and I was fortunate this with one particular weekend. I normally miss some things, see some others, but I got to see a lot of things this time because my big butt was nailed to chairs, you know, because of food and drink throughout this last 4 days.
Right. Let me ask
I didn't really get out like I did.
Did you? Okay, then let's put it like this. Did you see last weekend's Ohio State-Michigan game?
I watched the entire thing.
Okay, let's start there. What was your thoughts watching that? Because if Michigan can't beat them this year, it seems like they're never going to beat them. On a down Ohio State year, it seems. And you're an Ohio State guy. So what was your thoughts watching that, man?
I got to tell you, of course I'm cheering Ohio State. You know, I'm a Haskins guy. I like to see. The thing about the series, Steve, traditionally, is it's a emblematic battle series. In other words, it's a give and take kind of thing. You want to see they're always at their best when they come into this game, normally, traditionally, not always, but traditionally. And so what happens is you got Michigan coming in with the number one defense in the nation, number four team. They're a juggernaut this year. Let's admit it before Saturday. You got Ohio State who's, even though they've lost one game, they haven't really looked impressive doing it. My alma mater, Maryland, almost slapped them upside the head a couple of weeks ago. And then everybody knows that earlier. They haven't been themselves. So I expected this to be a tug of war again. I figured, okay, you know, maybe if Ohio State, what's going to happen is probably Ohio State's going to get the 9-7 lead at halftime. And then Michigan will fight back and they'll work it out until probably one overtime or maybe just at the end of the game with a last-second field goal. I thought it was going to be that kind of game. That's truly what I thought. And this is what I've been thinking, how they play, you know, with this. Because there's another aura along with it, man. Both teams actually fear each other, you know, regardless of how they're doing during the no matter how they're doing during the regular season. And so I thought it was going to be one of those, man. Bruh. I don't know what I saw. I can't believe the beatdown. You know, the execution that was given by Urban Meyer offensively was actually rudimentary, man. That's what they always do. That's Ohio State football, LSU football. Okay? What surprised me is that there seemed to be a lack of cohesion and even interest in playing defense when it came to the Wolverines. I didn't get that. It's not that they laid down. It looked like they were spent from the first quarter on, Steve. When you go back, look at their energy level. It just wasn't there, and I just didn't understand that. You saw it coming out of the tunnel. They just didn't have any fire in them. But I just took that to mean, okay, they're calm and they're patient and they're trying to take everything in stride. They were never in it. I don't know what happened. I can't tell you strategically, logistically, or from a game plan perspective, what the hell was in their heads. I can't tell you, bro. They did not show up. That's not the same team that played the Big Ten, the rest of the Big Ten this year. I don't know what the hell happened. I do know one thing. They're going to remember this forever because they're partying in Columbus as we speak right now, as if they won the whole thing.
Those
guys need to stop that because Northwestern is no joke. Go ahead, continue, bro.
Yeah. You know what, man? I hear what you're saying. I thought the winner of Michigan-Ohio State was going to beat Northwestern. I still believe that. That's going to happen in Indianapolis regardless. Mm-hmm. I thought the play calling for Harbaugh watching that game, like you said, to your words, you're actually correct, or actually agree. Well, yeah, what play calling? Exactly. It was flat. It was worse than our own team. I was disgusted looking at it. And the only points they were able to get generated to get going was off that muff punt at the end of the second quarter. And they got a running back touchdown at the end. But that was it was a cheap touchdown. It's not like they went down the field. Shea Patterson looked terrible. The play calling looked terrible. I thought the winner was going to win this game. And Ohio State executed and made plays. And give credit to Dwayne Haskins, man, J.K. Dobbins and those guys.
He's back in the Heisman talk. He's back in the Heisman talk.
He's in the talk. He's not going to win it, but he's in the talk. He's not going to win it, but he's in the talk. He's going to the pros. Dwayne Haskins is definitely in the NFL draft next year. He's going to be a quarterback next year. A lot of those quarterbacks like Terrell Pryor, and you could go Smith, all those other guys, those brother quarterbacks. Right. Haskins is going to be throwing a rock next on the next level. He looked good this year. 6-1 touchdown to interception ratio. When he needed to get plays out over Michigan's defense, he delivered. And Shea Patterson and the Michigan Wolverines did not. So it goes back to your conversation about Northwestern. I like Northwestern, but I think Ohio State has. Now, I could be wrong, but I like my chances with Ohio State. I know Clayton Thorson is a pedestrian type of quarterback, but their thing is about running the football, and I think Ohio State could stop the run. They got some big boys in the defensive tackles that could really neutralize the run game.
Right.
So I like Ohio State in those chances. And
I do
it's kind of a neutral site because you got that school coming from the northern suburbs of Chicago. You got Ohio State right next door to Columbus. Ohio State travels deep. I like their chances a lot. It's going to be a home field Ohio State advantage, no doubt. Right. Anything else you'd like to add from that game?
Well, from that, I was just going to say, you know, what Pat Fitzgerald's got going on over there in Northwestern. You know, right now they're on a roll. Okay, right now they're on a roll. They, like, won 7 out of their last 8. Okay, so they're in that – what would that be, Steve? The Western Division Championship? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so they wrapped that up when they beat Minnesota. But, you know, I saw them at the beginning of the year. I didn't like the way they looked against Duke or Michigan. You know, in fact, they had Michigan shut out. By halftime, I think it was 17-0, and Michigan came back on them, and they lost to Akron, man. Okay, so I don't know if this is okay. I think what they are, what the Wildcats are, is a I think they're a peaking team. I don't think I'm with you, man. I don't think they have enough pedigree, if you will, to beat the Buckeyes at all, bro. I don't see it.
Nah, man. Especially with Nick Bosa not being there. Had he been there, it would have been clear-cut Ohio State. They're still getting it done with Chase Young. Who's the other guy? Jonathan Cooper's still there. They got still enough left in the tank to get it done with the pass rush. Like I said, I love the defensive tackles. I like Jermaine Jones and Robert Landers for those guys. And their rotation with Garrett. I can't remember his first name, but last name Garrett. They were excellent in the last couple of games versus your Maryland Terrapins and, of course, Michigan. So I really like Ohio State going into this. So you can put me down for Ohio State. What about the let's get to the SEC championship. Everybody is really thinking about Georgia going to avenge that game. I don't see that way. I don't see it that way at all. I think Alabama's even stronger since the last time Georgia seed them.
What's
your thoughts on that?
To me, Alabama, this is Alabama's best team they've had in 10 years, and that's saying a lot. But also, I'm a student of history, and I know that at this time of the year, look, the four are Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Georgia, okay? That's the four. It depends, but Ohio State and Oklahoma, which are kind of knocking on the door here. Okay. Now.
Okay. Two SEC teams are not getting in though, because this is the SEC bid right here.
Yeah. Well, I just named three of them right there.
Alabama, Georgia,
as
well.
Oh, Clemson and Notre Dame.
That's ACC and then independent.
ACC, I'm sorry. My bad. You're so right. I always think of Clemson as SEC too. But the thing is, look, this is, you know it, Steve. This is always right here. If you know anything about college football in this history, which you do, this is upset time. Somebody's going to pull a rabbit out of their hat. I don't know who. I'm not really sure who, but I'm not giving this thing to Alabama completely yet, even though I think this is a very superior team. Okay? I'm having a problem with teams that blow out everybody every week. I just don't like it, particularly in college football, because you get settled and you get into what I call a comfortable groove where you think, you say to yourself, the game is going to come to me. But when you get on the field and the first thing that you do, you get punched in the mouth, someone brings the punt return back 35 yards or makes a critical catch on the sidelines, you start doubting yourself, and then all that sediment settles in. And I just think this is going to happen to Alabama. You know, I mean, what did they have the other a 35-point second half against their rivals?
Right.
Okay.
And good Auburn team. A great Auburn team.
I'm like five different Crimson Tide players had a touchdown pass, man. You know, and you know, it was just too easy. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like wondering what their locker room or their practice field looks like, man. I feel like they're ready. Their nose is exposed, man. I just feel like it. I don't know. But let me tell you this, Steve, before you go on, before you say anything, because there's a thought in my head, because I just mentioned a few teams here. Sooner or later, the powers that be are going to have to address the University of Central Florida somehow, okay? One day, somebody has to look up and see that this team is really, really playing really good football. And I'm sorry he lost their quarterback the other day, though, damn it. His last name is Milton. They lost them in the second quarter, man. And that kind of hurts their playoff hopes, obviously, this year. But this program has been really kicking ass the last 3 or 4 years. And they've got to be and look at them. They're 11-0 now. Someone has to look up one day and say, okay, we got to give them a little bit more love than they're getting. It's not their fault that they faced, the Memphises and South Floridas of the world. You know, this is a very good football team. I just wanted to say that little spiel.
You have a point.
Okay.
You have a point. They're like this generation's Boise State, or what Boise State was.
Exactly.
In 2000s, early 2000s. You got a good point. But it's like nobody wants to face them or put them on the off conference schedule. They're in a tough predicament. I hear what you're saying. And I don't know. It's hard to answer that because you can't really go to university presidents about those. Are about athletic directors creating the schedule. So that's a relationship thing. You have to put it's like UCF will have to play to like the lower tier SEC, ACC, Big 12 school.
Exactly.
They can't ask for
Tennessee or Vanderbilt or somebody. Yeah,
exactly.
You're right.
It has to go route. And they can play with those boys. And it's funny because they had the coaching change and they're still not missing the beat. Maybe it's because they're playing with old Scott Frost players. I don't know. It could be that this year. But going back to Alabama and – Georgia, and I hear what you're saying, man. And it's one of those games. It's like, you know, expect the unexpected. It's hard for me to say it about this Alabama team because they do everything great. The quarterback is goddamn guy. He's putting up Drew Brees numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like 35, 36 touchdowns, two interceptions. I mean, he's the one that literally came off the bench and buried him in the second half in his national championship last year. So,
yeah.
And he's even better than that this year. He's better than what he was last year in the last time. And I thought that Georgia defense last year was better. That's why I don't see it. And Alabama always goes into Atlanta and plays in the SEC championship. Seems like every year. They're like the Patriots tied on steroids. You know what I'm saying? The New England Patriots on steroids. They're always in the SEC championship, either them or Auburn. It's either one of those two teams in recent years. They could run the ball with the Harris boys. They got Josh Jacobs. I mean, they got to run the ball with four guys. They got five-star athletes on that squad, man. And then you go in the defense, that 3-4 defense. Saban got them guys going with Quinnen Williams or Raekwon Davis up the middle. I mean, they're clogging holes, man. And Rich that's what Georgia likes to do.
Pro. Trust me.
Absolutely.
He's going to be good.
They have all world everything at every level, every level of the field. Linebackers, Matt Wilson. They got Dylan Moses. Who's that cornerback? Salvion Smith. They got
But there's a lot of 13 points since they lost to LSU, man. Okay, and that defense.
Who you talking about? Alabama?
You talking about? Who are you talking? I thought you were talking about Alabama.
Alabama.
Man, that's a different category. Steve, we don't even talk about
Georgia. See, here's the thing.
I think Alabama's weakness is probably the male cheerleaders.
Yeah, probably.
I can't think. I don't even know. Has anybody seen their punter more than one?
No, I don't even know who he is. I don't know who he is.
I mean, I thought you. Okay, I'm sorry. I got.
Alabama has about
14 number one draft choices on that team right there.
Yeah, they do. They're almost like Miami. They're almost on that level. Not quite the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. They're almost on that level. That's the best team ever assembled by boosters.
Ever.
See,
Alabama. I thought you were talking about Georgia. I'm sorry. See, it's not even interesting to talk about the Crimson Tide, man. I think Crimson Tide's weakness might be the Gatorade igloos that they have. I can't figure it out. They do everything well. They always come out prepared. That's the biggest thing. Add to the fact that with star athleticism that they have, with the brilliant execution that they always pull, they have. When's the last time you've seen a college defense between plays? Watch Alabama's defense on the field between plays. When's the last time you saw defenses consistently huddle like that? That's crazy. Normally, it's just, hey, you're going to, you know, stand up, you know, it's a third and nine. Okay, fellas, get your spot, and you move from there. These guys get together and say, hey, I know number 34 is coming around the corner. You know, I need you to do that. You know, they just have a different swag to them, and it's totally crazy. But I still think they're going to get flipped somehow, some way. Georgia, I love Georgia, except I have a problem a little bit with them. Because not a problem with them. They have to play the Crimson Tide. If anybody's going to beat Alabama, it's them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's a chance for them to win these back-to-back conference championships, man. Let's see what happens.
Georgia got some players, though. They got some players. I like Elijah Holyfield. That's Evander Holyfield's son. I like Jake Fromm. He's all right. He's not a gunslinger to me.
Right.
He handles it well.
He could
run the offense and roll out and throw some plays to Riley Ridley. That's Calvin Ridley's fam. Holloman. They got some guys that can catch the ball and move the rock. They're going to have to play mistake-free football. See, here's the common opponent. Look what they get. They both went to LSU this year. And look what the results were. Look how Georgia went to LSU, and LSU destroyed Georgia. And look how Alabama went there and destroyed them. Swallowed them. Devoured.
I don't think LSU scored.
A bigger game. Huh?
Did LSU score that game?
Right. And look how much points. See, I mean, it's hard to say that because Georgia's played a lot better since that game. The game versus Florida in Jacksonville, the greatest world, whatever the name of that game is down in Florida, they play annually. And then they play well in Kentucky. They really won SEC East. And then they rolled over Georgia Tech after Thanksgiving. But this is Alabama, man. And this is probably, like you said, the best Alabama team we've probably seen in a decade. And we hate to say that every year because we say that, oh, this is the best team Alabama's ever had. No. Mm-hmm. The difference is the quarterback. This quarterback is better than anything they had in the last 10 years. Probably, we could go historically with this quarterback. That's where I'm taking.
Yeah.
I'm taking it here.
You could, because I can't think of a great – there are no great – you have to go back to a great Alabama quarterback. You're looking at Namath or the Snake, Stabler. You're looking at those – you know, and that's before we were born. So, you know – But listen, I don't. Did you mention? That might have been me talking too much. Did you mention Swift?
DeAndre Swift. But he's from Philadelphia.
Incredible.
Area. Yeah,
incredible.
It's going to take they're going to have to run misdirection. I mean, this Alabama defense, they could bring it, man. I mean, they're like they know what you're going to run, and you got Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. You got that relationship. I think it's like a 10-point favorite right now. I don't know. What would you do with the 10 points, man? Would you still give Alabama in a blowout?
You have to by default. You have to. You have to. Listen, man. If you're wearing. Okay. It's the hardest thing for me. The hardest thing for me to say. If you're wearing a Georgia Bulldog jersey. The only thing you're thinking about is execution, and you might overthink yourself. I'm looking at the game when they played. Who did they play? They played Georgia, and they overthought everything in the third quarter, and Auburn started to get in their ass. But then they overcame it. You can't do double takes like that against the Alabama Crimson Tide. You got to come at it from jump all the way there. And it took that game I was telling you about, it took Swift, a 77-yard run in the fourth quarter to break their backs or something like that.
Right.
That's what it took.
Right.
That's what it had to take. But you can't expect a 77-yard run against the Crimson Tide, man. This team is totally loaded, totally prepared, impressively coached. I don't know what else to say, Steve. It's a pro team. It's a pro team. I think they could give the Browns some hell. I really do.
I'll be real quick on the other two games because I think Clemson, as many points they scored against South Carolina over the weekend, I think Pitt will give them a better competition. I still like Clemson in the game. I like the adjustments since Kelly Bryant's departure. They could score a lot of points, Clemson. And I think Pitt would make it interesting, but I'm still going to go with Clemson in the ACC tournament. What about you? ACC championship. What about you?
Man, they're unbeaten, man. And Debo Swinney got them friggin' man. Look, they scored. Look, they scored 7 touchdowns against the Gamecocks, bro.
Right.
7.
They did. They gave up a lot 7. Of yards too. They gave up a lot of yards and touchdowns too. The defense was. I don't know. It's hard to read that game. It was like well over 1,000 yards worth of offense in that game.
Easily.
I don't know how to read that game. It was really tricky.
And Trevor Lawrence he's something. He's something to behold too.
Did a good job. He did a good job.
He really did. He really did. So really don't have much to say, except they better bring it and they better keep it. Better keep it moving. That's really pretty much it, man. They got a chance to win the fourth straight ACC championship, maybe.
Yeah. That's their conference right now with Florida State.
Yeah, pretty much.
You heard about Matt Brown going back to North Carolina. That's going to take a couple of years. Boston College is a nice little team, but you saw what Clemson did to them. Syracuse was a nice story, but they blew it versus Clemson earlier this year, and you saw against Notre Dame. But this is really Clemson's conference and nobody else. Miami's trying to get back into the mix of things. So Clemson is the ACC. Last game, what about rematch of the Red River Shootout, Oklahoma and Texas? I mean, Kyler Murray is a Pat. He could throw it. He could run it. He had him and our guy, my boy.
He built a Heisman resume the other day.
Yeah,
he built a Heisman resume the other day. But I have a problem, again, like I say every week, with Oklahoma's defense.
They didn't have no defense.
The fourth straight game, they done gave up 40 points or more. Okay?
They're going to outscore you. They're going to score.
I have a problem with that, Steve. And don't be surprised if Texas really upends them in this Big 12 championship game. I just don't like, you know, and that's, and West Virginia's done that to me all year too. You know, I love what you can bring me offensively, but don't give the same damn amount of points up because you're uneven. And I just don't have any love for Oklahoma like that. I know they're like, if you can do five teams, a big five, I know they're like 5A to Ohio State's 5B or something like that. But, bro, giving up, I'm just not that. I just don't have a lot of love for that, bro. I'm sorry. They give up too many points for me. Just too many points to be called.
You got Texas over Oklahoma?
Juggernaut.
Texas over Oklahoma, or what are you saying?
Well, again, Kyler Murray, man.
Because this is a revenge game. Didn't Texas beat Oklahoma this year? They did.
They did.
Don't they have? They have something like, you know, to play for. You know, a revenge game.
I think this is a different Oklahoma that's coming. They're gonna pull out anyway. I personally don't like their defense.
I don't either.
But I think they may pull this one out. I think we're looking at a 45-38 kind of game again.
I can see that.
That's what we're looking at. Yeah, something like that.
All right, cool, man. Sounds good. Let's see. Let's move on to college basketball. What are your thoughts with these tournaments? Did you see the Gonzaga-Duke game? I thought that was an excellent game around the
holiday. That was an excellent game, and that is exactly – see, that particular game right there, it comes down to basketball know-how and execution versus simple athleticism. Now,
Krzyzewski
is a fantastic X and O coach too. But these last 10 years or so, let's admit it, he's had some of the best athletes ever. But one thing that's really great about him.
He's got with the program, basically.
Say again?
He's got with the program. He's been the type of recruiter to get the four-year guy for decades. And then he said, no, I got to go for these five-star, one-and-done kind of guys.
Right. But I'm going to tell you something. Everyone's looking at Zion Wilson. Speaking of Duke, looking at Zion Wilson, who's a monster. He's going to be.
Yes, he is.
Okay, Barrett is he's got a great offensive rating. I guess Cam Reddish does too. But you got to pay attention to one thing that Krzyzewski always has is a damn good point guard to calm everybody down. And this guy, Trey Jones.
Yeah, Trey Jones. That's his brother, Tyus Jones' brother.
Right. He ain't gonna jump out the gym on you or nothing like that. But he damn near looks like a senior when he's running this team. He's constantly in control, like his brother was, of the offense. He's a decision maker. He's really, really good, and that's gonna carry them a long ways. And hopefully, what really messed up Steve? You know, I'm not the greatest Duke lover of all time, but this loss woke their asses up and just pissed them off. And they may just take you apart from here on in. I'm talking about the rest of the country.
What about North Carolina? What about the other ACC teams? What about
juggernaut. Now you know that's perennially my team.
Miami's and the Florida States.
Well, okay. Let's go to the number one squad.
I don't think it's a walkthrough. I don't think it's a walkthrough like that. Even though Duke has the horses though, but North Carolina's got a nice little team too now.
Well, let me say this before it comes out of my head. Hey, let me tell you something. I think it's on the 15th of December. There's a road game that Gonzaga has to take at North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Mm.
All right.
If they should win that, and let me tell you something, Gonzaga plays hard. You know that.
They've been playing hard for, like, what, 25, 30 years? It seems like they've been
there
all
something.
The time.
It's hard to see them losing more than two games or being out of the Final Four, bro. It's very, very difficult. They're arguably the best team in the land right now. And that's without Tilly. Tilly's their center, man. You know? They've been very, very impressive. So, hey, man, Mark Few. He has a guy. Oh, and they have a guy on there. You've seen him, Brandon Clark. He's a walking mismatch. You got to watch out for Gonzaga. You got to watch out for Gonzaga because let me tell you something. I didn't like what I saw out of Kansas this weekend.
I was getting to them. You don't like Kansas?
They beat Marquette and Tennessee, but bro, You can't play lackluster like that in tournaments, man. They got over simply because of their athleticism, not their basketball knowledge, and that's a problem.
That's a coaching issue.
That's Bill Self,
man.
I don't like that.
They still have all season to put it together, though. I mean, they are loaded.
They do.
Man. I mean, this is arguably
Lawson,
their best.
I love
that.
Yeah. But you know what?
You were talking
about other teams. No one's talking about Virginia.
Okay? I saw them in the tournament, too. They looked at you know what you're getting out of Tony Bennett, though.
You know what you're getting out of Tony Bennett. Nobody's going to crack 60 points on them. You know?
But their issue is going to be scoring when it comes to the tournament. You think this roster for Virginia this year, I mean, they'll win their ACC games, and they probably be in the ACC championship. But do you think when it comes to them, because they've earned the respectability to say, are they going to win? Are they going to be in the Final Four? Can they get to a title game? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. What do you think about Virginia's roster this year with Tony Bennett?
Well, let me tell you, for this year, look, when you have somebody like DeAndre Hunter on your team, anything's possible, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's incredible. He's a hell of a three-point shooter, and which was also shooting was supposed to be a weakness for this particular team, by the way. But him, he could defend anybody. He can get to the rim at will. And this is a year where Williamson and Barrett and all of them, in a year where they didn't play, he would be the conference player of the year easily, and he would snag that team. I mean, take that team to snag another number one seed. But I don't think Tony Bennett's Virginia teams are defensively minded all the time. And when he gets a great scorer like a DeAndre Hunter, they really always get lost and middled in the middle of the season, you know, particularly when it comes to ACC conference games. So that can be a little bit of a problem. But I also know that if Bennett has made that adjustment to where he has a significant second banana to Hunter, we haven't decided who that's going to be yet. They could be dangerous. Okay, that's how I'm looking at it. So it's hard to read them from that perspective. But that defense alone, bro, could carry you to the ACC title game.
Right? I mean, they're going to have their work cut out, because in the ACC, I know, of course, North Carolina, Virginia Tech has looked good. I saw like one or two Virginia Tech games. I like what I saw out of them. Like I told you about the Seminoles, they're going to be in the mix. Another team
but Villanova beat them with defense. That shocked me.
I mean, that's Jay Wright, though. I mean, that's Jay Wright. Come on. I mean, you got a multinational champion.
But defense, man. This team wasn't going to be the same team as last year with all that, you know. But they got personnel that is just as good defensively, man. That kid, Eric Pashal.
Yes.
And the other one, Bay.
Bay.
They are really, 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 really – they some gamers right there, man. Don't worry about them being out of the top 25 and all that either, man. They lost to Michigan. I don't know what happened to Furman. I didn't see that game at all. I just saw the box score, and I don't know what the hell happened. But they'll be back. They'll be back.
All right. Cool.
They'll win the Big East.
All right.
I think so.
I mean, we're going to definitely readdress the college basketball as the season goes. I mean, Gonzaga looks good. Kansas, I like them more than you do. Another team is Auburn. Even though they lost to Duke, I thought they played hella good in the SEC. So, they, you know, SEC got Tennessee, Kentucky, of course. They'll be in the
good
mix.
Team.
Your Terrapins is a sleeper in the Big Ten. It is what it is. A lot of these teams. Iowa look good, too, by the way. I don't want to forget about the Hawkeyes. Nobody's talking about the Hawkeyes. I thought they put it on in the tournament, the Empire Classic. Did a hell of a job. Iowa Hawkeyes.
They're
going to
keep coming.
Right.
They're going to keep
NFL,
coming. They're really, really good.
The National really Football good. League. What is your thoughts with these top-heavy teams? The Saints, the Chiefs, the L.A. Rams. you know, these teams are putting up a lot of offense. And who has the team? What team with the – I wouldn't even say the best defense. What team with the best situational defense is going to make their mark towards the rest of the season? Matter of fact, who you got in the playoff picture right now on both conferences, AFC, NFC?
Oh, Steve.
We could go through this.
This is the craziest. Okay. Let's try the AFC first.
AFC.
Okay. I got Kansas City, New England. I got Pittsburgh backing in.
Right.
I don't like them at all this year. I'm sorry.
Right.
They just don't have – they're missing something, and I don't know what it is yet. And it's not Le'Veon Bell. And who else? I'm missing a team, bro. I'm missing somebody.
Yeah. What about the Chargers, the Broncos? You got
I am very – no, I'm not impressed with the Broncos. The Broncos are going to be a what do you call it? What do you call it?
The Texans, the Colts.
What do you call it?
You got Texans, Colts, matter of fact.
No, I'm not considering any of them, you know.
Okay.
I really do see the Chargers with a lot more swag than I picked them to have. I'm very surprised at them. I'm really surprised at them. You got – Philip Rivers is throwing all over the field, bro. Oh, although I'm a little bit concerned over the fact that they lost Gordon yesterday.
That's a bad injury for them.
But
the MCL,
the guy,
right.
Elkier came in there and didn't skip a beat. So I kind of like that too. But overall, let me go back over that. I see the Patriots showing up again. Of course, the Chiefs and the Chargers. Steelers backing in. And you know what? Tonight will tell me whether or not the Texans are really, really interested in doing anything. I don't know yet. They were 0-3, and they looked terrible. Even lost to somebody in blue up in New Jersey.
Right.
Out there. I don't know. I don't know yet. They won 7 in a row. Let's see what they consist of. The East of the NFC, Steve, man. Okay, let's get the obvious out of the way. The Rams are going to surge in. I like what they're looking like. The Bears is their season. Hey, they control their own destiny as far as I'm concerned. The Saints are going to win a Super Bowl. I did say that. And watch out for the Seahawks.
You said the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl. That's what you said?
Yeah, the Saints are on some other shit, man. Right?
So it doesn't even matter who's coming out of the AFC.
The Saints are on some other shit, bro. They are on some kind of they are some kind of wackadoo shit, man. The swagger that they have is incredible. They are 5-0 on the road.
That is impressive. Very impressive.
I
remember their first loss was in the first game of the year. Now you're right. They've won every game since that Tampa Bay game, that opening, season opener.
That's right.
It's
unbelievable.
Right.
And they should have won that game. But okay. The NFC East, I know you're going to ask me, so I'm going to just stop you right now, and I'm telling you they're all trash.
Right.
You know, you've got a lot of – listen, let me tell you. I'm over here. You know where I live. And let me tell you something. I've never seen so many intelligent – I'm talking about the intelligent ones. The intelligent football diehard Eagle fans are really, really pissed off. They still haven't gotten over the New Orleans game. And the fact that the Giants were up at halftime have basically scarred their ass right now. You know? So, hey, I ain't on their side. I got my problems of my own. But that's what I'm looking at, Steve. If you ask me about who's coming out of where – it's a Rams Saints battle in the NFC and in
Rams,
the AFC.
Saints. So
AFC,
the Saints will be the home team in the NFC Championship. Is that where? That's where it's going, right?
Yes. They will.
So they'll beat the Rams again in the regular season, or in the postseason, like they did in the regular season, which was a very good game. About what, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, that Rams Saints game in New Orleans. You was there.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, that was.
Tell us about how it was that game. You like explain. How, you know, the offense, the defense, the energy in that building.
Oh.
Like, you went and saw some two upper echelon squads.
Let me tell you. Adam Gase, or whatever his name is, the Rams coach, has a very good squad. They're very well
drafted. Oh, Sean McVay.
Sean McVay, I'm sorry. What am I thinking of? Okay, forget it.
Adam Gase.
Sean McVay. They came out there, and they're well disciplined, and they're very well coached. Everything about the Rams is great. As evidenced by their 10-1 record. But the Who Dat crew, okay, the game started at 1 o'clock. The Who Dat crew was on the field at 10 o'clock, okay? They took about an hour or two to talk to the fans, you know, do some charity, you know, stuff, you know, about, you know, whatever was going on in the town of New Orleans. They took some pictures, you know, Drew Brees' foundation is really, really – Quantifol out there. They did that. And then after that, they practiced for another hour or so, 2 hours or so. They constantly went over game planning. You saw the coordinators and the coach on the side of the field. I've never seen that before. You know, normally that's something that was already taken care of in the film room or during the week. Okay, but they were on the side of the field just doing their own thing, trading tablets and those big placards, those play placards, and they were going through their motions, and I said, is it this serious? For real? And obviously you see what they did when they went out there. Now, let me tell you, their secondary, even with your boy Eli Apple, is still suspect to me. What they do is the Saints come out and they punch you in the mouth quickly and get up 14 points so that you'll have to recoil. Okay? They've done that to just about everyone they played this year except for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And what happens is they already put you in a 14-point hole, so then you start panicking. But what that also does, it makes Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, my tight end Ben Watson, you name it, that wonderful line, it makes everybody comfortable on the offense. Okay, and that's why they break you down the way they do. Oddly enough, Steve, one of the best coaching jobs defensively against them this year was at MetLife when the Giants actually held their own for a minute.
Yeah, we had a good run defense at that time. We had a good run defense.
Yeah.
To neutralize Kamara, but you can only do that but so long you get tired. When our offense wasn't getting anything done, our defense got tired. So we were in it, you know. But I'm kind of surprised because they have a very good defensive line too, the Rams. But they give up a lot of points, man. They give up a lot of points, the defense.
They
like great situational defense. You saw that Monday night game. I didn't like that game. Like I told you several years ago when we did the show
it.
In New Orleans.
Me
I hated
think,
the same
and you think alike.
52-49 game. I didn't like that 55-50 game.
Me and
whatever
you think
it was.
Alike.
You know,
that
like,
was a great game if you were sitting in Roger Goodell's office upstairs in a promotion department. You love that game.
Yeah.
You get ready to get paid. But if you are a football purist, or you probably have a background in coaching or whatever, that game bit. To score 51 points and lose, you know. And you know what's funny? You know what I will always remember this game for, Steve? I always remember this game for the fact that your man was the star of the team. You know, your defensive tackle.
Aaron
Donald
was
the
one.
Considering there was no defense played in that game, he was the one who did the most real shocking shit. You know, people always looking at this goddamn two strips, but no, man, he did other things, man. He was directing blockers. He was causing second guessing on the part of the Saints. I mean, the Chiefs' defense, as far as you know, he had. Mahomes had to change plays right there and audible left and right more than he's done in any other game this year. There was some really, really, really good stuff there out of the defense, out of that guy. That's what I remember him for. But, yeah, I didn't like that game either. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not going to ever say that's one of the best games I ever saw in my life because it wasn't.
I wouldn't even say that. It was a nice back-and-forth arena football style game, but I'm not going to call it the best game or even best Monday night game I ever seen. So I don't understand the hype. All these fans and traditional media is saying. But I'll put it like this. I'll say this and we'll move on to the NBA. I will still say that, you know what, I said there's something about this team. They don't go away. They're like a killer in a horror movie. That's Jason. That's the Patriots. I think they'll find a way to get to the Super Bowl, man. I know they look banged up and it doesn't look good, but it always seems like that in some years with this team. Some years they look flawless, but there's some years they're like, oh, they'll just weather the storm. I think they'll figure out of the AFC. I don't, you know, Jacksonville and all these other teams that were hyped up in early in the year, they're done. Pittsburgh, I don't believe in them as much. They'll never beat the New England Patriots, it seems, in this era. And then the Chiefs, they could score. And they're getting players back. You know, Eric Berry's going to come back. But at the end of the day, man, I still like Patriots, and I think I'm with you on the Saints, man. They're on some other ish, and if they play at home, just like they did in 09 when they had to go up against Brett Favre and the Vikings, I like I don't know. They might even look better now than they did then. You know, Breeze is putting up better numbers. This is crazy, man. I mean, I put that Saints team in 09 with Sharper on defense. They had Greg Williams coaching the defense, and, you know, I think Colston was on the offense. I mean, they had some weapons then. This might be just as bad. This might be better. I mean, they were throwing the guys. They're all bunch of undrafted rookie type of cats, man. It's crazy. Well, we'll keep tabs on that. So I'm thinking Saints, Patriots. But we'll readdress that in a couple of weeks when we get to some playoff talk. NBA real quick. I don't want to jump the gun too much. Do you think the Warriors are vulnerable? I mean, if they trade one of these pieces, or you think they're going to patch it up with Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, because that's the only way this season is going to be interesting. I think the Rockets are looking a lot better now. Melo's gone. I think the Portland Trail Blazers look good. The Pelicans are a sleeper. And I thought the Grizzlies, I know they lost the last couple of games, have underratedly flown under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And in the East, of course, I like Milwaukee a lot. And Toronto doesn't surprise me. And I think that was they stole that trade from the San Antonio Spurs. And then Celtics are still trying to find their way to East. There's a lot of open spots in the East. But the West is kind of interesting because you got injuries and you got locker room drama. Do you think let's put this on the table. You think the Warriors are going to trade Draymond Green?
No, I do not.
I don't think they should.
I think Draymond Green is a favorite of the front office there. He always has been. They love him.
So why did they suspend him? If he's a favorite, why would you suspend him?
For me, I think they suspended him for optics. I don't think he did anything. You know what? I don't know look, Steve. Everybody's talking about, and I have a tendency to kind of agree with this. The minute Steph Curry comes back healthy, you know, the Warriors, you know, will be back, you know, because they still lead the things, you know, lead the NBA in the things they do best. You know, they share the ball a lot, you know, and they make their shots, man. Field goal percentage is awesome. And the director of that is Draymond Green. Okay? Now, with him sitting there, and let me tell you something. I don't care what the stats say. Durant has really not been looked like he's interested in playing ball this year, man. Take another look, a hardcore look.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, don't tell me that because you would have fooled me the way he torched the Knicks in the fourth quarter at the Garden.
That was one of the best. Hey, those and you know what? I know you saw the same thing. Hold on, I got to segue a little bit, bro.
I know
you saw what I saw because I didn't get on the show that week because I was traveling. Let me tell you. I know you saw what I saw when he hit those big, two gigantic shots and the Garden came alive and how he looked at the Garden faithful. Did you see his eyes?
Uh-huh.
His eyes was like, I could live with this. And he loved it. He loved it. And let me tell you, it's a real strong possibility.
I ain't going to go that far, but I hear what you're saying.
I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to put a period right there. That's all I'm going to do. But listen, let me get to the stuff that let me just jump through what you're saying. No, they're not going to trade Draymond Green. I think everything's going to be all right with him. They're in a funk right now, and they'll bounce back, but they're not the 2016 Warriors. No.
Right. Other teams in the West and the East surprised you?
I'll tell you what. I gotta admit, I'm a little surprised. But Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green.
That was a steal.
Oh my God, that's a championship looking team there. They are
doing
the right things, huh?
You think they can go for it all?
I think they could if they stay together like that and keep this momentum. I think they could. Danny Green's shooting 44%. Man, he's playing great defense. I love.
Yeah, he can always shoot it.
Yes. But you know what? Speaking of shooting, what the Bucks do, their shot selection is a thing of dreams, bro. It's like shots around the rims, three-pointers, mid-ranges. It's wonderful. It's just fantastic. They got the best true shooting percentage in the NBA because they're all shooting within – I've watched three of their games, and they all shoot within the damn circle. Nobody's trying to go for the big bomb out in there, and it's working for them. And their coaching is outstanding. Okay? The Nuggets, I don't know how long that's going to last. I think I'm seeing a mirage, bro. 76ers?
Yeah, they started off fast, man. I said this on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fear and Form podcast. I like, and they may not do anything great, but I like their building blocks. I call them a super AAU team. That's the Sacramento Kings.
Right.
They may not, you know, wow a lot of people going forward, but they've had some nice wins this year. I like their young core. They have a whole bunch of the last 2 to 3 years of good college players, and Frank Mason the III, De'Aaron Fox, Bagley the III, Harry Giles. They got I'm missing somebody. Oh, Buddy Hield. They got a lot of guys from the last 3 years in college who are dominant. And I think you could build off of that. It's going to take like 4 or 5 years, and they'll probably be in the 4 or 5 seed in the West. But watch out for them in the upcoming future. What other teams? What about Houston? What about the Clippers? I think the Clippers have surprised a lot of people. A lot of the pieces they traded away in free agency.
Man.
What about them? What?
Anybody else? I've only watched one of their games, I got to admit. But I got to say this.
They're the Warriors this week.
You got Lou Williams doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The Knicks must be scoring 60 points a game, Steve. But I really love – I don't know where does that kid Harold come from? Where's he come from?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Man, he is killing
That's Patino's boy. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He's killing it. He's averaging about 16.
Montrezl Harrell,
he's not in the game very long. And he's just doing it. They have a really nice nucleus they're working with. Doc's got them playing, man. I like him.
I thought he was a monster at Louisville, man. I thought it took him a while to get going in the pros because I thought he had this in him in the pros. What about Milwaukee? What about Boston?
I love Milwaukee. I love the Celtics, man.
Jimmy Butler trade, all that.
Jimmy Butler trade is gonna have, you know what? It's a work in progress. I mean, look, Sixers won 5 of their last 6 games, but they all been close, and 2 of them been Jimmy Butler's clutch shots to do it. Okay, now Embiid, he plays MVP caliber ball. Okay, you know, you look at his stats, he's like 28-14 or something crazy like that, Steve. But that's the first 3 quarters. Okay, he's got to learn how. He's got to get some lessons from Karl Malone on how to shoot freaking convert his free throws too. Okay,
I don't know
if this can hold up because I don't think they have a nice they don't have a great locker room right now. And also, you got to remember Covington and Saric that went to Minnesota. That was some good depth there. That was some good depth, and it's just going to help Minnesota go forward, man, especially down the stretch. So that's what's going on there. I like the Trailblazers. I like what McCollum is doing more than anybody else. You know, because, you know, my man, my boy, he's going to do what he does. What else? Well, who else do you ask me about? The Grizzlies, I don't know yet, man. They're this slow pace, defensive focus. I don't know how long that's going to last.
It's a long season, man. You're right. Long
season.
And I
don't like
right.
the Rockets at all. Sorry. Don't like them. I think they're overrated. I think they need to bring Gerald Green in the game a little bit more because that scoring punch that he had during the playoffs last year, that should work. But as long as somebody with a big-ass beard is going to play one-on-one ball for the last 7 to 8 seconds of the goddamn shot clock on every possession, they ain't going to win shit.
They have Chris Paul for that. And remember, Well, I hate to say this because last year he got hurt, but he always gets hurt. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, they're going to divide those duties when it matters in the postseason. So I'm kind of not worried about that, but at the same time, when you talk about their health, it does become an issue. Real quick, I think that covers a lot in the NBA. This big fight in Los Angeles, you may have heard of it, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. How you look at this team in L.A., man?
Listen, I haven't seen all of their fights, but I do know about their style. Okay, it's me, styles make fights. Okay, and you know what? Look, I haven't seen all. Like I said, I've seen enough Tyson Fury fights. Listen, man. Okay. all right. Look, he's a work. He's a piece of work, man. His personal problems and mental problems. Failing the damn drug test. He had his license revoked one time. He stood at the podium and said he used coke, and he just says a lot of shit. But he's also fought Kevin Johnson. He fought Kisora, and everybody knows Klitschko. Okay,
Klitschko.
So he has really, his resume speaks for itself, man. Okay.
It really is. It's a good, it's
27
a good
out of 27. I can't fuck with that. Now Wilder though has mediocre shit. After Severn, I can't re- oh yeah, Ortiz, the Cuban guy. I remember now.
That was a good fight in Barclays back in March. That was a very good fight.
That was a good fight. That
Ortiz,
was a good fight.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Look, let me just say this: styles make fights. Everybody knows that Tyson has that really, really nice. He's awkward and difficult for anybody, man. Okay, he's six foot seven inches tall. He's a giant.
Yeah, he's
in order
a giant.
For him to win this, he's gotta avoid Wilder's mid-range punches, as far as I'm concerned. With both hands, Steve, but mostly the right hand. And he's gotta use his jabs outbox Wilder for the whole fight. You know, because Wilder is gonna be dangerous every minute of this round. And also Wilder, he showed a little bit of a chin against Ortiz. Remember, he was like
he sure,
ready to pass
he
out
sure
in the
does.
Second round.
Oh yeah, man. That's why I was shocked when he came back.
He showed a chin, bro. I had to give it to him a little bit, man. You know, he did. But he wants to be the undisputed champion, man. And he, you know, look, Tyson can be slowed down, but I don't really know. Look, I think Wilder's going to take this fight with a decision. I just see it.
I think so,
you know?
Too.
I think he
goes a distance.
And I don't look at this heavyweight division.
I don't look at this fight as Deontay Wilder is the American, and he's the he has the home crowd, because a lot of his fights is in Birmingham or Brooklyn. You know, it's been East Coast type of thing.
Yeah.
With Fury,
yeah.
You know, his a lot of his fights been at the O2 Arena in England and around the UK. I don't look at this as if, you know, like Floyd Mayweather's fighting at the MGM. I don't look at this home ring advantage that Wilder. This to me feels like a neutral site fight. Had this fight been in Barclays Center, I might have given even more of an edge to Wilder. But I, you know, style make fights like you said, man, and you. Fury's resume to me is more impressive than Deontay Wilder, but Deontay Wilder showed that chin, man. I think that says a lot in this. That Fury fight, I watched that Fury fight, the last fight. He fights this young, small guy. I mean, it was a joke back in August. He was fighting this guy named Pianetta. The guy had to, if Fury's about 6'7", this guy had to be like 5'6", man. I mean, it was a total joke of a fight. It had no business being a fight. But to your points, man, the Klitschko fight, Kisora fight, the Kevin Johnson fight, and you're throwing Christian Hammers. They're very impressive resume besides the drug stuff. But at the end of the day, I still think Wilder has probably going to win on rounds. We got a couple of more minutes. I don't know if you heard anything or saw anything with that Phil versus Tiger pay-per-view. Did you like it? Did you dislike it? Did you care for it?
I disliked it for the same reason you disliked that 50-50 or whatever that nonsense was on Monday night. look, 93 yards for $9 million. That's how I looked at this thing.
It's all for charity, I guess.
Look, it was a lot of fun. I saw a little bit of it. It was a lot of fun. I like the fact that Tiger, you know, I saw the birdie on 11 and 12 take that lead, and I'm going, yeah, okay, this is over with. I started watching something else. I didn't see Mickelson come back. But the thing is, look, man, if this is all that the sport of golf has to hang its hat on at this point, then especially when everyone knows every golf course in America, major golf course in America is starting to close up, then y'all have some really, really rethinking to do in that industry, man. It's just not. I don't know how the ratings were, but we shouldn't go that way, man. It needs to go back to what we. It's got to get back to what it is. They had 22 holes, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four holes, man. Yeah.
This is the novelty show, man. So I don't know. I don't know.
Golf, man. I mean, I guess my question, because we only got like 20 seconds. So I guess, is this going to be the new thing for golf? We're going to see one-on-ones for,
please, no,
you know,
I
like,
hope
like
not.
Boxing?
I hope not. Please don't. No.
Because remember, you know, you're a boxer guy. They thought the pay-per-view fad back in the 80s, oh, man, nobody's going to pay for boxing.
And now we
nobody's
do. But
pay
see,
for
they,
these fights.
Yeah, but that wasn't a match. Oh, but I meant to tell you this. Real quick, because it's only 20 seconds. Furry's a front runner, and he's going to tire, and I think Wilder's going to take care of him later on in the second half of the fight. That's what I want to say.
All right, man.
All right.
Blues Day recap, college sports, pro sports. Stephen Chris, we'll be back later this week. Schedule on bleedblueshow.com. We'll do another recap, Chris, probably next several weeks. All these sports, man. Always good picking your knowledge, your brain on this. So, Andre, also, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.